Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are heading into a weekend where the O's are going on the road and walk-off wins and lots of fun. And we're going to get into that and hope to do that on Tuesday over at Costas Inn. We'll be there in the morning up until 2 o'clock when I'm going to put the microphone down and pick a beer up and probably get some Oysters Rockefeller or some Crab Imperial. That'll be around 2 o'clock. But we will be there courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery as well as Liberty Pure Solutions Jiffy Lube. I'll be giving away the 10 times the cash. The remaining ones I have, I'll also get some Pac-Mans. Friday, we will be at Fade Lee's in the new Lexington Market, and it is beautiful. You know, they're trying to talk us into doing this al fresco. I said I'll check the weather forecast on that, but Luke will be down at 2 o'clock. We'll be there live from 2 until 5 at Fadley's in the new Lexington Market. That is on the 12th before the Brewers game. And we'll have Corbin Burns pitching for us, and they won't. But they might have DL Hall. Who knows? Luke Jones joins us now after I saw some Mike Hargrove video of him getting thrown out of a playoff game, like three pitches in back in 30 years ago. And I thought, the human rain delay. You're like, ever since you took over the beat and they threw me out like 20 years ago, I just feel like you sit through a lot more really awful rain delay things than I ever did back in my day. And I could ask Alan, who came on, who did your job 30 years ago, how many rain delays we actually sat through. But dude, my heart broke for everybody down there Thursday. And then the game started. We went to Amici's, and I'm watching, like, nobody's there, and everybody that's there is freezing. And I'm freezing getting out of the car, and I'm getting wet a mile away. And I'm like, and then they won. And it was nice. So, they rescued really what I said to my wife. And, like, they're losing, and Burns isn't pitching well. We're sitting at the bar at Amici's, and I'm like, there's 2 out of 3 to the Royals in this weather. Bah, you know?
Yeah, well, and they had one hit through 7 innings. I mean, that's how listless and uninspiring it was until they finally awoke in the 8th inning and ultimately win in walk-off fashion, thanks to James McCann. But a very weird, odd day. Look, anyone who's gone to a lot of baseball games over the course of their life, you've sat through some rain delays. I mean, it's inevitable. It's baseball, right? Unless you're playing at the Trop or, you know, lived in Seattle or something like that. I mean, you're used to outdoor ballpark. You're going to have some rain delays. You may have sat through a 1 hour rain delay, a 2 hour rain delay, maybe even a 3 hour rain delay, but a 5 hour rain delay. And this is where I will take the Orioles to task a little bit, although I think they did redeem themselves in offering a ticket voucher to anyone, not just people who were in the ballpark that night, but anyone who had tickets for what was supposed to be a 105 game on Wednesday.
That is such an easy thing to do. It's like Southwest Airlines giving me a drink.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just not a big deal for them to invite people back to the ballpark.
Correct. But the measure that they should have taken, and don't tell me that, oh, no one could have foreseen this, because the Philadelphia Phillies on Tuesday night, they had a 105 game scheduled with the Cincinnati Reds on Wednesday, in the same way the Orioles did with Kansas City. On Tuesday night, they shifted their game from 105 to 405. Understand, and you know, I think it was sent out through the Citizens Bank, you know, the name of their ballpark, you know, but it was their Twitter account or their X account, whatever it's called these days. And they flat out said, looking at multiple forecasts, we're going to move this game in anticipation of there being a lengthy rain delay otherwise. And the Phillies and Reds still sat through a rain delay on Wednesday evening in the same way that the Orioles would have. It would have been so much easier. This would have been so much easier to stomach for fans, for stadium workers, who, by the way, they're not all paid overtime and get extra money to sit around all day long. I mean, I confirmed that with some workers at the ballpark.
And this is the look of frustration in a right. Philly, when I did the math on how much money Angelos made $1 million a week for every week that they owned the baseball team. For 1,650 weeks, they made 1.7. I mean, and you got workers making and this. Yeah, I mean, it's
right.
It's not good. And Mr. Rubenstein should take note of this. And I think maybe he did at the end of the evening.
Well, and look, they've given out vouchers in the past for long rain delays. So I don't want to say that was a David Rubenstein mandate. But
fair
you're
enough.
Right from the standpoint of saying, look, this didn't sneak up on them. This forecast looked awful as of, I remember the first time I checked was probably Sunday evening or Monday afternoon. And you could see Monday didn't look great, Tuesday didn't look great, but I even said to you in our previous conversations, you know, if you look at the hourly, those days still looked like they were going to be able to get in baseball, and they did. But Wednesday looked like the worst of the bunch. It
well, full
like
disclosure from my point of view here, because people keep asking me about this, Luke, as they should, and I'm glad they do. I was denied a press credential on opening day, denied a press credential on Sunday, on Easter, when we didn't have anybody in our seat because you were allowed in the seat and I'm not, by Greg Bader, who still runs the place. And Wednesday was the day I wanted to go. You know what I mean? Like, you see the schedule and you're like, make your, you know, when you're making your thing. And then from the whole time, they denied the press credential. I thought about still going down there because I don't mind giving Mr. Rubenstein a few bucks. But the weather was just, it didn't lend itself into my calendar 5 days ago to say that's a day you're going to go to the game or not. And I don't say I'm a fair weather fan, but like, I don't go to 42 degree rainy day. It's just not a great plan, you know, ever. And I would hate to be coming from Hagerstown or Salisbury or Shrewsbury or any berry, you know, Woodbury, any berry, to, you know, sit down there for 6 hours in the rain. It's not fair to you as my employee. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not right.
Well, look, I'm not worried about myself. I'm getting paid to cover baseball. But for people, like you said, and you could see it, go to the Orioles Twitter account and see their initial announcement, whenever it was, 12:30, whatever it was, that said we're not going to start the game on time. And then there were no updates until.
Yeah,
5
at that
o'clock.
Point, are you like, do you have Bob Turk, or are you just waking
right
up the weather today?
So it would have been. And look, let's also, in fairness, look at the circumstances. Yeah, the weather wasn't great. The Royals did not have Thursday off, so it wasn't as simple as keeping the Royals in town and making it up on Thursday. They had a night game back in Kansas City on Thursday evening. The mutual off day that would have made the most sense was the day before they were to visit the Nationals, the last week of the regular season in September. And I can understand in early April not wanting to burn that off day, not knowing what could happen and knowing what other potential makeup games you might need to make up at that point. Now, knowing that's 5.5 months from now, this would have been so much simpler and so much easier to stomach. Understanding that they needed to get the game in, if at all possible, to look at the radar and do what the Phillies did and say, look, there's no way, looking at the midday forecast, no way we're going to be able to play then. But if you do look at it later in the day, it looks better. Not great, but better. We're going to move it back to 4:05, and then that would have given people the option of whether they wanted to make the drive then. It could have given other people who might have wanted to see Corbin Burns, and then you have an evening game, and suddenly, hey, It's 50 degrees. I know it stinks, but I get to see Burns. I had to work and I couldn't go at 105. And also for people to exchange tickets, because they do have a much more flexible exchange policy than they had in the past. If you move that game back to 4:05 and then it's just a 2 hour rain delay, look, you're still going to have some people that are annoyed. And look, it's April baseball. To your point, a lot of people made the decision they weren't going to go to begin with.
Yeah.
But for the people,
I mean,
who
we drove
go,
downtown in the cold, in the rain at 6 o'clock because my wife was craving Amici's, period. And we didn't have any problem doing that. And we didn't have any safety problems or red light problems or parking. Like, we, you know, we could have gone over to the game. We sat at the bar and watched the game in the rain. And, you know, all I thought about with this, and I want to ask you this. First things first, because the Corbin Burns part's interesting to me. Because if I'm the manager and I know how Buck thinks and I know how, and I haven't been around these baseball people. They've blocked me out for 18 years, as I told Mr. Rubenstein's people. So it's for you to figure out or ask them or get a pulse on. Are the Kansas City Royals antsy enough, or a bunch of pricks enough, or the managers? Because I know visiting teams and the Players Association, like all of that's involved in this. Radar, Bob Turk, Nicole Sherry. I mean, everybody's involved in this. The umpires, right? And there's revenue. There's the business side of what are we telling our fans, and the PR side, which, you know, the Orioles have famously always gotten wrong because they have the wrong guy, Greg Bader, sitting in that chair. But which is why I didn't have a credential to sit out there in the rain with you and eat hot dogs on Wednesday. But I would say to you, is there any force of baseball people, from Elias to the managers to the coaches to the players, is there any faction that really wants to go out and play in what I experienced walking a half a block from Amici's to my car, and I got wet, I mean, I got wet walking out in the third inning, maybe fourth inning. We got in the car. I listened to Jeff Arnold on the way home. I came home. I watched the game. You know, the whole deal, right? I had a Baltimore night in the rain, where I wasn't thinking like I want to be at the game. And my wife and I always have these. Well, if tickets were free, if they just opened the gates, if it was $5, I'm like, it's frigging cold and wet, and it doesn't feel like they're going to finish it. And it feels like it's going to be half-assed in the Thursday night baseball way, which is why I would think the Orioles would look at this on Tuesday night and say, our number one pitcher, our dude, is going. I don't want him out there slipping around. I don't want him out there half-ass warming up. I don't want him out there stopping, starting, stopping, starting. It's not good for him. It's not good for his arm. It's April. He's been in Florida for 8 weeks. Like, I'm thinking, like, that's my billion-dollar arm. That's the guy who has to start game one in October, or I'm effed. And it's same thing with Lamar Jackson. I treat these guys like they're all Lamar Jackson, right? So I would think the Orioles would make a movement to say, let's take care of our pitcher and move the thing to 6 o'clock. Let's take care of our fans and move the thing to 6 o'clock. But the Royals and the Major League Baseball and the weatherman, and like, no. We got a game Thursday. We're getting the hell out of here. All right, so you want to go play in the rain? The rain's going to be the rain. You can't control the weather, right? But the baseball people really want to go out and slop the way Burns slopped in the early part and got banged around a little bit and had some problems. Like, and it just. It's not good for anyone, and I'm not saying got to get the game in, because I always hear that baseball got to get the game in, and now that they don't come back to town, it's way more weird. I was explaining that to my wife the other day. I said, usually early in the year, you played your own division, you saw them three more times, you tack a game on, you play a doubleheader in July, twine night, bad, 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 but shoot some fireworks off, do whatever you need to do, get a band. But are there baseball people that want to go play in that crap?
Yeah, because the logistics of losing an off day the last week of the regular season when you're, tired as can be, and not knowing what other rainouts and other, the
Okay,
point
let me
is,
rephrase that question. Would the Royals rather play in driving rain from 1 until 4 to get out?
the Royals didn't want to come back to Baltimore.
No,
I
no,
mean,
no, no, no,
they
no.
didn't.
You're not hearing me. If the game was going to get in at 7 o'clock, 6, as in it did,
Right.
why wouldn't the Royals the night before
Oh.
acquiesce? Why would the Royals want to sit at the ballpark all day in the cold and wait and play ping pong, as was famously brought up in the conversation, as they play cards and ping pong all day? Wait, wait, wait. Like, it would seem to me that the Royals, the baseball people, would say, it's going to rain. We can't play like the Phillies did and move the game. I'm wondering what the force of nature that the Phillies would do it one way and they wouldn't do it the other way. And I remember from my 22 years with a press credential, sitting through many rain delays, of how much pissing and moaning the Yankees and the Orioles would do amongst managers, owners, umpire, like, it was just really hard to ever get anybody to agree on anything other than we'd rather go play in the driving rain because that's who we are. I don't know. I mean, it felt dumb that they were out there playing in a general sense because it was pretty wet.
I mean, they wanted to play in a general sense. Did the Roy? I mean, I don't know if the 6:05, moving it to 4:05 on Tuesday night or at 8 a.m. Wednesday morning. I don't know if that was on the table. I'm guessing from a Royals perspective, there probably would have been some trepidation in doing that because they wanted to get home because they are playing Thursday. So they're probably thinking, well, okay, we're either going to wait around at the ballpark or okay, we can move the game to 4:05 and we wait at the hotel for 3 more hours. Neither option's ideal for us, but we want to get it in. We don't want to come back here.
If the why is the Roy, that's the Royals, then that's a good why. That's, I mean, I'll hear that. It's
Right.
a
I
little
mean,
baseball
I'm assuming
prickly,
that's,
but it
I mean,
is.
and let's be clear, like, let's not, I don't, what the Phillies did on Tuesday night, that's not the norm of what you typically see in baseball, right? I mean, you typically don't see a game time change the night before or the morning of. Typically, it's either postponed ahead of time or you wait it out,
Yeah,
right? I
they
mean,
had
that's
no
kind of.
problem moving a playoff game on 3 hours' notice in
No,
October on everybody
I'm
baseball.
not, that's not
Yeah.
what I'm saying. I'm just
Yeah.
saying, can you, re my point is, can you recall too many other examples where that's happened? And
Well, my
no,
point
you
is they're not
can't.
proactive. Look who owned the team
Sure.
and look who
But,
controlled the sport, But they
and I
got the
don't.
games under 2 hours. They've made a lot of changes lately
They
to
have.
make me think like maybe they should be thinking about this, and the Phillies were. That's all.
Right, sure. And look, I don't want to belabor it too much because what they did do, in credit to them, which I think this was the bare minimum, but they allowed for re-entry. So anyone who left the ballpark, who lives in Fed Hill or somewhere local, who was able to come back. If they wanted to come back 3 hours later, they did allow them back in the ballpark. That's typically not something they do. So good on them for that, at the very least. They had open seating. I mean, look, it was a nice atmosphere considering there were only 500-600 people there. I mean, it was kind of fun. It had the feel of like a big time high school baseball game or something like that.
When I sat and at the finally, bar at Amici's, I looked up and the stands were full behind home plate, and I'm like, they just let people come down. Which
it was
is
immediately
cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And look, it's good to do that when you're in that. I mean, this, and in fairness to them, I mean, they had 3 straight days of rain. It wasn't ideal. It was cold. Like, we understand it's early April baseball. It's been I was just reading it before hopping on this chat with you. You know, the amount of rain we've gotten over the last, you know, already starting in April is crazy. So, I mean, it's tough. It is difficult this time of year. You don't want to just start banging games left or right because, you know, you've got more than five and a half months of season to go. So, again, the easiest measure that they could have taken would have been to take a page from the Phillies, delay the start. So forget about the media, stadium workers, fans, those, you know, police who are working around the ballpark.
But Corbin
all of that.
Burns too. But Corbin and Burns
sure,
too. And that,
sure.
That's where I that my long-winded windbag thing is more
I know,
about,
but you
like,
can't, there's only so much you can do about that part. But I agree. It's a shame. And I'll say this, and this is where let's position or transition back to talking about the game. I mean, Cole Reagans is a heck of a pitcher too. I mean, he was impressive. I mean, that changeup, he looks like the kind of pitcher that I see all-star game potential for him in the future. I mean, there's no question about that. If not right now, he completely shut the Orioles down. So it is a shame just in a general sense that you get this pitching matchup of Corbin Burns, obviously being the big ticket item for the Orioles and their new ace, going up against Cole Reagans, who is looking like the ace for the Kansas City Royals for the foreseeable future. That, yeah, it was played under such less than ideal conditions in front of so few people. But that said, they did towards the end of the game announce, you know, they put up a message on the board. They put it out on social media. They acknowledged that this was an extreme inconvenience to have that long of a rain delay. But in an effort for the teams and Major League Baseball to want to try to get the game in, that's what happened. And they did offer a voucher for another game Monday through Thursday the rest of the year.
I'm talking so much about the club, the new club that they need to create in this way, that if you're a part of the club, and there's been flexible tickets and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Done a lot more of that, yeah.
Yeah, and like, I'm going to continue to talk about it as though it's getting better. You know what I mean? Because, I you know, even that part of it, but it gets better when they're more proactive and – they don't have a bunch of disgruntled people on social media, and they got poor Brett Hollander running around eating everything in the ballpark and putting it out on social media. And, you know, I'm sitting there wondering, like, poor Luke, and, you know, because we're involved in it too. And there's part of it where people are asking, what are they doing? What are they doing? You're sitting there. You don't know what they're doing. Communicate. Communicate. Right. I mean, this is what I told Mr. Rubenstein's guy on opening day. I said, you have communications people there that I've never met because they don't communicate. They don't communicate. I mean, they're not really communications people. They're barriers to the famous people is what they are. They're doormen. I mean, so communicate clearly, concisely to everyone, to your point, to Corbin Burns too, and to, you know, to the Royals too, and to the hotel they're staying in, that there's going to be late checkout. Like, there's just a lot of logistical things that have to be involved in it. And if you look at the forecast and you know you cannot play baseball between 1 and 4 because it's just going to be too awful to play, and you look at it, and I looked at it as a fan and said, I'm not going down there. You know, like, come on, man. I mean, what are you doing? Make good decisions. Do better. All I could think about when you're pissing on them, just do better. Mr. Rubenstein, do better. And that's going to be my message. Please do better. Please. I beg of you.
The game time change that they didn't make. Okay, you get to a certain point where it's too late to change the time of the game. Very early on in that rain delay, again, it was very evident looking at the hourly, because it got to a certain point where you saw, okay, they're playing. By about 3 o'clock, that they didn't postpone the game at that point. You knew they were going to play at that point in time. There was so much time. And it's like in the poker world, it's called pot committed, you know, right? I mean, you're so far along, and now you see when the clearing's going to be. It's not 11 o'clock at night. It's somewhere around 6 or 7. It actually did clear up a little more quickly than they were calling for, thankfully, because at one point I thought it might be 8 o'clock when they were going to play. And then you're talking about an insanely, I mean, it already was an insanely long day, but even more so. And then you're getting into the Kansas City Royals, getting it back into town for their game on Thursday night in the wee hours of the of Thursday morning.
But
so,
if you get three executives from them and three executives from us at right. 9 o'clock the night before and look at it and just all kumbaya and say, let's call right. this 6:05.
I agree.
Let's call this 6:05.
Well, everybody they're not going to do 6:05. They weren't going to do 6:05, but 4:05 at the very least. People that were coming in, you know, stadium workers who were coming in at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now it's noon.
Yeah,
right?
And also at 2 o'clock, you can say it's not 4:05, it's 5:35 at that point because you continue to communicate. And that's the part that I don't get because people were, dude, I got in the car and drove to Amici's and the game hadn't started and I'm just checking my app. I looked down, the game's in the first inning. I said to Jen, I'm at Falls Road. I'm like, oh, game started, put it on. You know, I'm like, I mean, nobody rings a bell when the game starts either, which is like, just, dude, communicate with me. Push something my way in some way to tell me, to nudge me to go to my television other than Oriole Classics or whatever. God knows what they were putting on Massive for 5 hours. I don't know. Because I put it on at 1 o'clock looking for it. And I'm like, I'm looking out the window and I'm like, I ain't playing. You know, I mean, and I think we all have a baseball sense. It's a baseball town. You know, I mean, just do better. That's all. Do better. And then let's talk about the game. You want to do that?
Well, I just had one final thought. When you get to the point where you didn't move the game, right? You didn't do it Tuesday night. You didn't do it early Wednesday morning. An hour into the rain delay, at that point in time, bite the bullet and say, look, we want to really try to get this game in. It's not going to happen in the next couple hours. It's probably going to be closer to 6 or 7 o'clock. And it was, like I said, it looked even less promising than that at a couple points in the afternoon. At that point in time, say, we understand this is going to be a very lengthy rain delay. At that point in time, you could have said then, rather than when they announced, you could have said, anyone who's elects to leave the ballpark, we will allow for re-entry when the game does restart. You can exchange for a future game, which I think that was on the table anyway. But instead, you had three or 4 hours of silence until you got to the point where they announced when first pitch was. There were different, along the way, there were different checkpoints where you could have communicated better and tried to make the best. Look, even if they moved the game to 4, it still would have been a 2-hour rain delay. That's still less than ideal, right? The Phillies, by the way, just to give full context here, they still had a long rain delay in Philadelphia, even after moving the game to 4 o'clock. I don't think they got started till, I think it was a 3+ hour rain delay even for them. So look, lousy day. You're trying to get things in. I understand it's early April. You don't want to burn an off day. You have guys that are sitting around in the, so they lose their off day, right? You know, it's not an off day for them, even if you bang the game. There were different ways that they could have done this better. It should get better. I think it will get better, to your point. Hopefully the new ownership group looks at this and say, hey, I understand MLB and the Royals and all of that, but we got to communicate to our people better. We got to communicate to our fans. We got to treat our stadium workers a little bit better. We could have been a little more proactive about this. And that was the point. And the Phillies attempted to do that. It still wasn't great in Philadelphia. They got the game in. They lost. The Orioles did win, though. So for the people who did stick around at the very least, after a pretty listless first 7 innings, and Corbin Burns really was grinding it out, didn't have his great stuff other than the cutter, but still was competitive, still only gave up a couple runs. The Orioles mount a comeback. And how many times did we see it last year where they looked kind of lifeless and they were behind in the late innings and sure enough, they come roaring back, and that's what they did on Wednesday night. So at the very least, for the people who stuck around all day long, they got to go home happy, and they got to go home with a voucher for a future game. So I will commend the Orioles on that element of it. But yeah, on the field, it was not looking great for the first 7 innings as Cole Reagans completely shut them down.
Meteorologist Luke Jones with your Camden Yards weather report. We're going to be over Costas having some conversations about the bridge. We're going to be watching some baseball on Tuesday. Next Friday, we're going to be at Fadley's, the new Fadley's at the new Lexington Market. It's awesome. And Luke's going to have a Fadley's crab cake, whether he wants one or not. He might even have two. We're going to do that every Friday from 2 until 5. It's going to be live. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm going to have some 10 times to cash. Let me get those Pac-Man scratch off, some Roz as well. I'll have those at Fadley's. We're going to be at Coco's on the 18th, but that might get moved to the 19th or the 17th. Stay tuned on Coco's. Marcel and I are still in negotiations on that. But we'll be back at Fadley's on the 26th as well as we get through this thing. Onto the field for a minute, and, you know, I will talk about burns and just bad weather days and really awful things that can happen in April to pitchers, and whether it's line drives off of Bradish or, you know, whatever weird stuff would happen to start a season and be weird. Starting and stopping in the cold and the rain would have been awful for Burns, awful for any pitcher, certainly. So that tragedy didn't happen. But to your point, the bats went like crazy cold. Like I don't know at what point in the season they're going to have four hits over 16 innings or whatever it was, whatever the math was, you tell me. But it was a little and a lot. And then putting runners in scoring position and having, like, Urias have awful at-bats. And then finally, a guy like McCann comes through. And, you know, we talked about Jordan Westberg the other day and these young players. You know, Rutschman will hit a walk-off at some point. So will Henderson, and Mountcastle will probably hit two. And the lottery promotion is, you know, with the grand slams, there'll be grands. All that stuff's going to happen. But the sort of bats going so cold, in the cold, against the Royals, and looking at losing two out of three to the Royals and some slop at home to go to Pittsburgh to kind of start the year, we all know they're going to be good. I mean, I'm very bullish on them winning 90-95 games. I really am. I just don't know where the wins and losses come from. But, you know, two rabbits out of hats and, you know, and a couple of blowouts in the beginning. But the bats being quiet, that's something you and I should talk about.
Yeah. First things first, and this is where I'll give the Royals some credit. I think the Royals are better than most people are expecting them to be. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not saying they're going to win 95 games, anything crazy like that. Let's be very clear. But good approach at the plate, really made contact, going the other way. I mean, Corbin Burns is a strikeout machine, and I think he had, what, 3 5 2/3 innings. So it speaks to them putting the ball in play. I think they had a good approach over the course of the series, even at times when the Orioles pitched well. And it's not as though Burns wasn't awful or anything like that. He just wasn't the dominant Corbin Burns that he can be, and we saw on opening day. But I think good approach from them. Bobby Witt Jr.'s he's their Gunnar Henderson. He's a stud, right? I mean, there's a reason why the debate was Adley Rutschman or Bobby Witt. It just turned out really nice for the Orioles and Mike Elias that they drafted Gunnar Henderson in the second round after they took Rutschman. I mean, it couldn't have worked out any better.
Can you imagine the backup and the problems? And then they wouldn't have a catcher, but, you know, who knows, right?
Sure.
Well, Elias puts a little more work into this. So does DaCosta on the football side. I'll give them both that when they make these decisions that – you know, Kyle Hamilton, what? You know, okay. All right, you're cool, dude. You know, yeah, I see what you're doing now. So we can go back and Bobby Witt this forever, right?
Well, Bobby Witt wouldn't have been – it's not like that would have been the wrong choice. It's just it worked out great for the Orioles that you have Adley Rutschman and you got Gunnar Henderson in the second round. You know, I mean, look, I mean, that was part of the debate. It was, okay, do you want the stud catcher who's closer to being major league ready? Although at that point in time in 2019 – the Orioles weren't worried about having a prospect who was major league ready. They had so much work to do. Or did you want the stud shortstop who, look, if you're going to ask me stud shortstop who's 4 years younger or the stud catcher out of college, I'm probably, if you tell me that they're both going to pan out, I'm probably going to lean a little more towards the shortstop in all honesty. But Adley Rutschman, we know what he means for the Orioles at this point in time and in the foreseeable future. And they got Gunnar Henderson, right? I mean, if Gunnar Henderson's not there in the second round, they don't take him, then maybe the debate's more interesting. But as it stands right now, it's a massive win for the Orioles. And good, you know, credit to
Elias.
Well,
there's also a point to how bad the Royals were
Sure. They're both terrible.
Yeah, right.
You're picking one and two. I mean, you're both terrible. I mean, we know how and the Royals have been really, really bad, even as the Orioles were getting much better the last couple years. The Royals have stunk. So that aside,
to your point, the Royals are coming.
Yeah. I mean, to the degree of the Orioles, no, but I think they're going to be better. And look, the AL Central, I mean, is anyone overly impressed with the Central? I mean, okay, the Twins. I'll hear the Tigers having, you know, a good young core. I think the Tigers are more interesting than they've been. You know, I mean, who knows with the White Sox, right? I mean, the White Sox, they're off to a bad start this year, but you know, I kind of look at that division. Minnesota, I think, is still by default the favorite, but I think Kansas City could make some noise there. And it's funny to say that because I'm saying that about a team that, you know, dropped their first two series of the year, but I think they look more competitive. Maybe they remind me a little bit of where the Orioles were 2 years ago, which, you know, they still weren't great, still didn't make the playoffs, but ended up being better and much better the second half of the season. But going back to the Orioles, the approach at the plate, yeah, it hasn't been great. I mean, let's face it. First two games, they hit the heck out of the ball. And since then, it's been choppy, right? I mean, they didn't hit the finale against the Angels. Monday night, they needed the walk-off from Jordan Westberg after Kimbrel had blown the save in the ninth, which, you know, a bloop, a couple steals, and a sack fly. It's not like it was a terrible performance. And then on Tuesday night, they didn't hit the ball against Alec Marsh. So, you know, they've got to get the bats going. There's no question about that. The weather's been tough, but the weather was tough for Kansas City against Corbin Burnes, and they squared them up and did a nice job, you know, and put a couple runs across the board despite the miserable conditions. So I think they'll get going. I mean, look. Burns said it best. He was asked about the conclusion of the homestand, kind of just, you know, you have a summary of the first six games, and said, hey, we won two series, we're 4-2, and I don't think anyone in this clubhouse right now would say we're playing anywhere close to our best baseball right now. So that speaks to, one, what this team, you know, where they are from a talent level standpoint, but also their expectations. They have very high expectations for themselves at this point. This isn't, oh, this was really fun the way it was in the second half of 22 or last year where they came out of nowhere and won the division. They're the hunted now. They're going to get the best shot from any team they play at this point in time, right? I mean, from a mindset standpoint, in the same way that we talk about the Ravens and have for years, the Orioles are in that position now where you look at them and say, hey, they're really good. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. So the bats need to wake up. There's no doubt about that. You know, they've got a number of guys that are off to a pretty slow start. And I'm going to say it because it needs to be said, because you take a look at the number of runs the AAA Norfolk Tides are scoring right now. And you see what Heston Kerstad is doing, and Jackson Holliday hitting leadoff home runs, and Kobe Mayo and Connor Norby and Kyle Stowers. I don't love the Orioles bench right now. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. You've got Jorge Mateo, who is fast, but you got to be able to get on first base. They have Mateo running around in center field, and I get it. It was against a tough lefty, and they're trying to protect Kowser a little bit, but I don't love that. I don't love seeing Ryan O'Hearn in right field the previous night. Couldn't run down a ball that I think a good right fielder in the major leagues typically catches. And to your point, Ramon Urias is off to a bad start. And look, six games, right? I'm the ultimate guy.
It's
that
just
we'll
a strategy,
sample,
dude.
But
you know, I mean, you got to have a better at bat with the game on the line. If that's
sure,
who you are, and you're going to stick on a team that expects to win 100 games, right?
And my concern with Arias, and look, I mean, one specific at bat. Look, anyone can have a bad at bat from time to time. That's going to happen. But hitless through the first homestand, and haven't seen him really hit the ball hard all that much. So not at all suggest anyone who's sitting there saying, oh, Luke's calling for them to DFA Urias. Far from it.
You're the king of short sample size.
Right. King of hot takes. But, you know, you do have these guys at AAA that are just waiting for opportunities. So my point is, when you have a bench that right now consists of James McCann as your backup catcher, no issues there, of course. And he was the hero on Wednesday night. Tony Kemp, call a spade a spade. Tony Kemp doesn't. If we're talking about the Orioles truly putting their best foot forward, we're not talking about service time and Jackson Holliday, Tony Kemp wouldn't be on this baseball team right now. I mean, let's just call it what it is. You have Mateo or Arias on the bench every night.
Dude, you know, that's going to change by June. You know that.
Well, sure, it will. But that said, that's why it's important to win games on Wednesday night.
Well, here's
like
how
did.
It changes. It changes when Urias gets key at bats and can't knock in a run, you know, at all.
Sure.
Doesn't even have a strategy to knock in a run.
Right. So, but the point is, you have a bench right now that compared to guys that are waiting for opportunities at AAA, my point is, Arias, need to perform. Mateo, need to perform. Tony Kemp, I would say, needs to perform. I don't think Tony Kemp, to your point, if he's still here in June, I'm very surprised. And nothing against him. He's a good guy. Guys in the clubhouse like him, but he's a fringe major league player at best at this point in time. I mean, just look at the numbers. I'm not trying to talk out of turn here.
Wait,
or
is there anything
crush
you want
the
to say
guy.
about that box score Thursday night? I mean, it's just it came across to me at 4 a.m. and I'm like, 10 RBI. Is that the season?
For
I'm like,
Kershaw,
no.
oh.
I'm looking at the box score and I'm like, is that the first couple of games? And I just looked at all Rutschman, the whole deal. I mean, that Rutschman's the holiday. I'm mixing them all up now at this point. I'm like, 26 hits, 20. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think it. Go back and look at what the Orioles Grapefruit League record was. And look, boy, you want to talk about. We always talk about fake football in the NFL
Meaningless.
preseason games. Same way with the Grapefruit League. But what have we said? The Orioles or the Ravens had the long preseason winning streak. People always lost the plot there. They, you know, they tried to talk about Harbaugh caring about that or this coach caring about. No, they always had really good second, third, fourth team guys, much better than the opposition second, third, fourth team guys. So the same idea applied in the Grapefruit League with all these guys at Triple A and to a lesser extent Double A, but really Triple A. And the Orioles, they won all those Grapefruit League games because you get to the fifth inning and you have the backups in. It's all these prospects for the Orioles against other teams, quad A, journeyman.
Oh, I'm watching Jackson Holliday bat
guys.
Against the Red Sox in the seventh inning, and he's like a major league guy batting off a guy that's just a, you know, an organizational
right.
guy they're going to send to Double A, right?
So the same thing, the same expectation applies in Triple A when all these guys, some of them who've played in the majors already, like a Stowers, like a Heston Kerstad, they're playing against other teams Triple A rosters.
Well, and then
which,
Holliday hits
frankly,
a double into
good.
The gap and hits 429 in spring training, and we're all like, whoa!
but the point is, you look at Triple A. I mean, their roster's loaded. I mean, you look at their top five or top six, and that looks like. Look, I don't want to go as far as the craziness that you hear, and like you always hear about this, like Alabama could beat the Carolina Panthers. You know, I'm not going to that degree. But you look at the top five or six that Norfolk's trotting out in their starting lineup every night. I'm not saying that it would be, you know, better than a lot of teams in baseball, but those six guys would be slotted into a lot of major league lineups.
Well, hold
right
on,
now.
Three or four of them are going to be a part of this lineup by this time
of
next
course.
Year.
Of course, of course. I mean, it's only natural.
And that's why when we talk about Santander and we talk about Mountcastle and we talk about Mullins, we talk about Hayes, they better be thinking about diving on piles now. And we're talking about Urias and Mateo being gone 6 weeks from now, like literally, right? So and Holland and these guys being here, this ish happens fast. If you go back and you look at the Norfolk roster from this time 2 years ago today, and we're all screaming, "Where's Rutschman? Where's Rutschman? Where's Rutschman?"
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, that's just part of it. So, or some of those guys that are at Norfolk right now, they're going to be in the majors elsewhere because Michael Elias is going to trade one or two of them for a pitcher or something.
We'll have
like
another
that.
Corbin Burns.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be nice. I don't know if it'll be that, but someone.
Well, the White Sox could have had three of these guys and we'd have Cease.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I mean, last year they were just so determined to get Jackson Holliday and the Orioles said, no, you're not getting Jackson Holliday for Dylan Cease. I don't know if that ever changed in terms of what they asked for, but. Point is, you asked me about the Triple A box score. Yes, I saw it. And yes, it was spectacular. And yes, it's a reminder of where the Orioles stand with their farm system compared to just about any other team in baseball. So, hey, good win after a really difficult, long day for the fans. And I really empathize for people. I walked around in the concourse at one point at like 3 o'clock, 3:30. And I was actually shocked how many people were still around. Glad to see the Orioles take care of them. Should have been done in a more timely manner, but they at least, you know, took care of them in a couple ways, and they got to see a win at the end of the day, and that's what it's all about. Orioles finish up their first homestand and embark on their first road trip, catching the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates off to a good start, so going to be challenging. And in case you were wondering, weather not going to be great in Pittsburgh in early April either. So shocking, I know.
Well, it's Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
You never really want to recommend it. I spent a month there for a couple of hockey games a couple of years ago. He is Luke. He's Baltimore Luke. I am Nestor. You can find us anywhere the social media takes us. Our 25th anniversary documentary is coming out in a couple of weeks. Working hard on that through the weekend. And really working hard on getting ready for the NFL draft, getting ready for some elections around here as well. I had some candidates on this week. We'll be doing a little bit more of that. Maryland Crab Cake Tour comes to Costas on Tuesday. We'll be talking bridge and community in the peninsula. We'll be on Friday at Fadley's at the Inner Harbor. I'll be at Coco's the following week. Then after that, on the 26th, at back at Fadley's in the afternoon, live from 2 until 5 at Rhymes. Luke will be coming down for a crab cake, and I'll be staying for a beer and probably some shrimp salad and some proper macaroni and cheese because that's the way I roll. And some cucumber salad, too, because it's delicious there. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Now I'm thinking about steak fries all day and like big potato wedges and ketchup. Stay with us at Baltimore Positive.